We have now added a new and revolutionary increase in destruction.
Dez and Troy. You see, when you put them together, they destroy.
Yeah! Seek and destroy!
We got company. Hang on.
Y'all, welcome back in again. Daily Destroyer on the Dynasty Warzone Network. I'm your host, co-host, Tyler, at FF Tyler O. Joined as always by Lou at Lou Dog Sports. Lou, how's things going, man?
Good. It's getting a little cold out here this week in Denver, but it's supposed to heat up for the game on Sunday. We've had a few days where it's under 40 degrees this week, so not too excited about that, but it's fall. Fall's here. Fall's a good season, right?
Yeah, absolutely, man. Let's recap last week, week five. Both had success. Again, things have been hot lately. We absolutely love to see that. The cash has been absolutely flowing in for our cash game plays. So if you've been listening, if you've been playing the plays, things have been good for you. You know, I played Daniel Jones, ended up getting hurt. That sucked, but at the same time, did not even matter because I was able to get Madison in there. I was able to get Henry in there. I was able to get Devontae Adams in there. And what really, put things over for me is I stuck to my guns, took my own advice, and played Kadarius Toney at 4K, scored over 30 DK points, was really on him last week with the opportunity that was going to come in his way. He really showed up. It was great to see. Also played Fournette, you know, played Chenault, played Gesicki, weren't great, but I was able to make up for it with all those other great plays in Fournette, Adams, Toney, Madison, and Henry. How'd it go for you, man?
It's good, yeah. I also played Toney. I did the Trey Lance lineup. Going down to Toney, it turned out to be very good. I won a couple of double ups even. Got like first in a couple of those. So it was a pretty successful week. I think I was about like 98% win rate on it. And so it was a good week, and I'm hopefully get right back at it for this week.
That's the hope, man. I think things have been hot. Things have been absolutely hot for us. I've been cashing 4 out of 5 weeks. I think you've actually cashed 5 out of 5. So things are good. But let's jump into it here, man. Quarterback positions, starting through the positions like we always do. Quarterback, man, I feel like we talk about players before we jump on the show always. Quarterbacks and running backs seem a little straightforward this week. For me, it's going to be Lamar Jackson. It's going to be tough for me to keep him out of my lineups this week. 7,400 is just such a good price. We know the floor that he has. He's been passing a hell of a lot more. Bateman's actually going to come back. I don't expect there to be a huge change there, but I'm a huge Bateman guy, so I'm excited to see it. But 7,400 is what really draws me to him. And then you just look at the fact that he's playing against the Los Angeles Chargers. Like, they've been pretty decent, but like, it's not a bad matchup. Like, the matchup is pretty even across the board, pretty average. So there's no concern from the Los Angeles Chargers defense side, at least in my opinion. So, you know, Lamar Jackson seems like the smash play. Your thoughts on Lamar?
Yeah, we saw it last week with Lamar that he basically dominated the score sheet.
He set records
in that Colts game. And one thing he's doing this year that seems like he's taken the next step as being a passer. And you know, last week he still had 60 rushing yards, but he was 37 for 43 and over 400 yards, 4 touchdowns. And so we saw it last week that he's got some of the best upside in the league at quarterback. So for 7,400, it seems like he's at a little bit of a discount this week. We've seen him at 8K in other weeks. This is actually the cheapest he's been all year. Mm-hmm. And he's just in a great range where on the other side of that Chargers game, Herbert is 7,300, but doesn't have the rushing upside. So
and Lamar the just defense seems sucks. Right. Yeah. I mean, week. It just seems right. And Lamar hasn't scored a rushing touchdown in 3 weeks, which is unlike him. So, and especially when looking at the running backs that he's dealing with, I mean, part of it is, yes, he's throwing more, but some of that rushing production is due to come around. I mean, a fun fact here is, he's the first quarterback in NFL history to throw the ball over 40 times and have an 80% or above completion percentage. I mean, Drew Brees never even did that. So I'm not saying he's as good of a passer as Drew Brees, but it's just talking about how prolific that game was and talking about his, you know, ability to pass the football. You know, I think people label him as just a running back all the time, but the dude is a great passer. I mean, it doesn't always look great, But at the end of the day, remember, he's throwing to Hollywood Brown as his number one wide receiver. It's special. We're witnessing some pretty awesome things here with Lamar, and to see him at 7,400. Yeah, to see him at 7,400, it's a pretty big smash for both of us. Like, just for the sake of having to talk about other players, even though I think you and I are pretty locked in Lamar and on our lineups this week, at least in cash. A couple of the guys that, you know, I at least want to talk about, same game actually, is going to be Taylor Heineke at 5,800 and Patrick Mahomes at 8,300. Like, Patrick Mahomes, like, probably not paying him because Lamar is 900 cheaper, but, you know, Mahomes is in a game where you're looking at the Washington football team. They have been allowing the most points to quarterbacks, absolute smash matchup from Mahomes. And then you look at the Chiefs. The Chiefs are a pass-first team. They're always trying to pass the football. They're passing in neutral game scripts. And then they just lost their lead back in CEH. So everything points the ways that the Chiefs should be absolutely slaying, but I think the price at 8,300 reflects that. And then the other side of the ball, if it's not the Washington football team allowing the most points to quarterbacks, it's the Chiefs. The Chiefs have been absolutely awful defending the pass. And Taylor Heineke has been pretty freaking solid. Like, he didn't start the whole week one, but three of the last 4 weeks, he's been a top 10 quarterback, or at least a top 12 quarterback, depending on your scoring that you have. So he's actually been a pretty serviceable quarterback with a little bit more of a rushing floor than we expected. And at 5,800 in a pretty plus matchup where I expect the Washington football team to be passing the ball the whole time, he's at least pretty interesting to me if you're trying to save a little bit of cash at the position.
Yeah, I like it, both those calls. And I think that's going to be a game that is going to be commonly stacked this week because they do have a lot of good options for fantasy. It's possible that the Mahomes stack is a little underowned because of just the way the Chiefs have been playing this year. Like, they're under 500 through 5 weeks, and I don't think that's something that people were really expecting out of this Chiefs team. And if Tyreek is hurt and not able to play, then, you know, that might scare people off of Mahomes' upside. So I think when you talk about the top priced player, sometimes if there's any sort of questions like that, people will be scared off. But Heineke, it's mostly a price play for me, is just the fact that he's under 6K, and he's been under 6K all year, but we've seen it. Like, he has a decent floor. They like to throw the ball, but potentially if McLaurin were to sit out this game, I know he like has the Q tag, but it's probably expecting him to play, but yeah, for sure. You know, there have been a bunch of injuries on that team as well. So I think that there's reasons that other people might get scared off of this game. So I'm going to keep watching it, but I do like the players, and it's a type of game that we could see be a shootout.
It's a good point though, because Curtis Samuel, like, never really had him all season, but he's ruled out already. We know Logan Thomas is out. You know, it came out that Antonio Gibson is actually dealing with a stress fracture in his shin. That's why he's been limited. That's why he's been questionable. So they've been limiting him a bit in practice and in the games. Like, that, you know, could lead us to J.D. McKissic. Not really totally interested because running back's injury. Like, I think there's some clear plays at running back, but I'm with you. So pretty clear here, Lamar Jackson. We also like, obviously, this game with Mahomes and Heineke. Is there any other quarterbacks that you might be considering? I think cash is pretty locked up at this point, but maybe some stacks or some GPP plays that you have interest in?
Yeah, not for cash, but I do have a couple that I think are going to be interesting for GPPs. If Heineke is sort of chalky, then I kind of like Derek Carr.
No one's playing Raiders this week. Playing Raiders this week.
Yeah, Gruden news, like, people aren't going to really want to play the Raiders, but he's only 5,600. And, you know, we've talked about it the last couple of years. I've been pretty high on Derek Carr season-long statistics.
We've been hammering.
The line was, it was around, like, 4,000 flat. It might have been, like, 4,025 or something this year, but he's basically beaten that up the last 3 years. Right now, through 5 weeks, he's on pace for 5,400 yards passing, and that's just like, it's not something we normally see with him. He's usually in the lower 4Ks, but I mean, he's passing a lot more this year and more efficiently. Last week was the first week he didn't have two passing touchdowns, and that was against the Bears. But, you know, I think for a low-owned, cheap way to then pay up at other positions, I kind of like Carr off of Heineke chalk. And then For 6,700, you can do Matt Stafford in a game against the Giants. And I mean, we've seen it with Stafford throughout his whole career. He's a guy that doesn't necessarily do it with his legs, but has the 300-yard bonus in him any given week in multiple touchdowns. He only has one game this season under 20 points for fantasy, and they're facing the Giants, who aren't the best defense. So I like Stafford and stacking Stafford teams for GPPs.
Yeah, I just want to rewind it just a bit there to talk about Carr. I do like the call. I think there's one side of it, as we mentioned, where people are just going to be low on the Raiders because of all the drama that's going around there, rightfully so. But, like, you look at the Broncos' defense, and the Broncos' defense out the gate was absolutely elite, but they played the Giants, the Jaguars, and the Jets. It was pretty easy, and then they've been beaten pretty handily by the Ravens and then by the Steelers. I mean, Big Ben was able to throw up 250 yards and two touchdowns against them, right? And I think Carr, at this point in time, Carr is a much better quarterback than Big Ben is, so... I do like the Carr call. Obviously, not a cash play, but I do think it's sneaky and it'll be super low owned in those GPPs. And you don't have to talk me into Stafford at any point in time. So, quarterbacks, pool of three, Lou.
I'm going to go with Lamar, Heineke, and Stafford.
And Stafford over Mahomes. Like it. To the running back position. It's been pretty crazy with the news and, you know, COVID and some injuries popping up, some unexpected things that have really came through the woodworks to, you know, at least make my cash plays at running back a bit more clear. I'll start with those and then we can talk about them and maybe talk about some of the guys we're also considering. But, you know, Kareem Hunt at this point in time, not only has Kareem Hunt been absolutely crushing it, been scoring an unsustainable amount of touchdowns, Chubb was just ruled out today with a calf injury, and they're playing the Arizona Cardinals. And the Arizona Cardinals are, if you look at their running back matchups, I mean, they're basically like, it's a really good matchup in the end of the day. Like, I'm taking a peek at this Cleveland Browns,
there's a lot of plays that are probably going to happen in this game.
Yeah, so it wasn't even the plays, but like the Cards have been bad against the run, like legitimately bad against the run.
The Browns have been the best team running the ball.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like I was just had to pull my stats here, but I mean the Arizona Cardinals are pretty much like one of the best matchups for running backs in the NFL. And then the Browns, like you mentioned, are one of the best like running teams in the NFL. So it just sets itself up well. Like Chubb was probably already going to be a smash play, and now it's going to be going to Hunt. Like, there are some ancillary pieces that could fall in there, but at the end of the day, like, we've seen Hunt be elite. He's playing great right now, and he's going to be, like, the lead back in this game at 6,200. It is, like, an absolute no-brainer. It's kind of when you start your lineup, it's the first player you're going to probably put in there with maybe a couple others that we're talking about here. Darrell Henderson only at 6K. I think if you look at some of his like snap percentages and usage last game, like he was out getting checked for an injury, but he has been getting the usage that we want to see out of a top 12 back all season long. And I know you just talked about Stafford, but at the same time, like Darrell Henderson is a absolute workhorse at this point in time. He's looking good. He's looking spry. He's on a great offense. The matchup with the Giants is not that scary. And at 6K for a pretty much workhorse running back, like lock me in. And then Khalil Herbert, 4,600, another one. Like he was splitting time with Damian Williams. It actually took a lot more from Damian Williams last week than I expected. I mean, the guy had 18, no targets, which we don't love to see, but he had 18 carries last week. Probably going to get a couple targets sprinkled in there this week. Wouldn't be shocked to see him see similar carries on the ground this week. And then at the day, it's like 4,600 for a 20 touch running back in a matchup that I wouldn't necessarily call tough by any means. That these three running backs, like, you know, 1, 2, 3, it's going to be tough for you to talk me out of putting these three or at least two of these into my lineup. Thoughts on these three real quick, Lou?
Yeah, and what you said about Henderson is kind of why I also like Stafford a little more this week, where Henderson, I think coming into today, was expected to be one of, if not the chalkiest running backs. But now with Hunt, I think people are going to put Hunt above Henderson. So of those three, I think Henderson might end up being the least owned now because of Hunt. But, you know, Herbert, it's kind of tough because he's 4,900. So the price is,
I think it's 46.
Is pretty nice for it. It's 46.
Even cheaper.
Yeah, but under 5K for a running back who we saw last week get 18 touches. And, you know, like you said, maybe he's not active in the passing game, but is that because Damian was there and now he might get two or three catches? So I think it's the type of thing where his price makes him pretty exciting to play because there's not a ton of value this week compared to other weeks. And when we're already interested in Lamar for a quarterback, playing three running backs at 6,200 and below is definitely a way to save salary. So I really like that idea. I think with Herbert, he might have like lower of a ceiling. But then the Kareem Hunt play is basically the same as Madison last week, except we're getting it 2 days in advance. So I could see Hunt being more owned than Madison, but the Madison was last week. But I think with the 2 days in advance and you have other plays like Henderson, there's Swift, there's Mixon right around Hunt, I think that could maybe spread out a little bit of the ownership versus last week. Madison just immediately became the best play in that 5K range. So it's similar to the Madison play of last week, but I think it's less of a, this is just a straight up free square. Cause I played Madison every lineup I made last week.
So did I.
I don't think I will do that with Kareem Hunt. But I think he's definitely the first guy in my cash team.
Let's talk about three other running backs. Also cheap, all benefiting from some injuries ahead of them. It's going to be Chuba Hubbard at 5,900. CMC is declared out. Devontae Booker, 5,400. We have no Saquon Barkley. And then Daryl Williams at 4,900. There is no CEH. So I think people are going to be looking at these three players as well. I expect ownership for these three to all, you know, be well over 10%. I mean, probably over 15, to be honest with you. So, you know, I think the three guys we talked about first will probably be higher owned than these three, but I think there's going to be still a handful of people going to Chuba with no CMC, Devontae Booker with no Saquon, and Daryl Williams with no CEH. Thoughts on these three in terms of, do you have a favorite of the three that you like, one that you absolutely don't, or just general thoughts to talk about as you know, throwing in your lineup?
And all those guys are people that I think were I was considering before today when the injuries and the players being out came out. But I'd rather play Herbert than Darrell Williams. I'd rather play Henderson than Chuba. And I think it really was more like I'm playing Hunt instead of Chuba now, but I think Chuba probably will end up being a decent play to pivot off those guys. But I still think I'd rather go find extra salary to go to Swift or Mixon if you're not playing Hunt or Henderson on one of those teams. But I don't really plan on playing them in cash because I think Hunt and Henderson, I feel a lot safer about than Chuba. Mm-hmm. And it's nothing like against Chuba as a player. Like we saw him hit 100 yards last week against the Philly defense. And it's just, he's starting to come into more of like a CMC role. He had with the 29 touches last week, but we don't know if that was like a one game off thing or not. So, I probably won't play much of Chuba, especially if I see him getting high ownership expectations.
Yep. And then just to touch on Daryl Williams, he's a guy that I'm really not interested in whatsoever.
Yeah, not anymore.
Kind of, you know, I touched on it before, but it's like Washington football team defense has been a disappointment. They're still decent against the run, but they've been absolutely awful against the pass. Quarterbacks and wide receivers have been scoring points almost for free against them. So, and then you look at the Chiefs, and they already want to throw the football, and they're already throwing the ball a lot in neutral game scripts. I mean, CEH was already a shaky asset before this, so it doesn't really give me much confidence of the CEH role in general. Like, a CEH role isn't a great role in itself, and I don't think Daryl Williams is any better. So, you know, this is a game where I think the Chiefs need to win, and they're just going to throw that ball till they get this game, you know, well in the bag. So I have no interest in Daryl Williams. And Booker, and then at the end of the day, it's like, it was nice to see Booker get, like, when Saquon went out, that he kind of had the same usage. Like, there was no, like, major split. But at the same time, like, we know who Booker is. Like, he's not a transcendent back. He's barely a good back. He's, like, a journeyman who is a decent backup. So it just doesn't excite me to put him in my lineup at all. And then Chuba, if Chuba was, you know, the same price as these two guys, I think I might be able to get around to it. But he's been priced like CMC's been out for a while now. So, you know, I think these, like we said, these were three decent plays before the news broke, but I am also not on them now.
I have a couple of plays that I think I'd rather make than Darrell. One piece of news that I'm going to be watching carefully is Damian Harris. He practiced limited, but it's questionable, left the game last week. And then Ramadje Stevenson, who we know he's been touted as a guy that can catch passes out of the backfield. And he had 11 carries last week, only for 23 yards. So it wasn't that great of a showing, which I think only helps the play, because then people will be less wanting to go to that, even if he does open up. But for 4,500, I think he's a decent pivot off of if Herbert is chalky. And another cheap guy, if we don't get the Stevenson option, would be McKissick, another guy in that game that we've been talking about already. And
I like McKissick.
Less options for Heinicke to throw to with all the injuries.
They're going to need to throw. They're, you know, absolutely going to need to throw in this game.
Because I like to, when there's super chalky cash plays that are cheap like that, it's less so with the running back position, because I think with wide receivers, like, there's so many different 3K wide receivers that could randomly go off in a given week, whereas running backs is a lot slimmer chance that one of these guys is going to outscore Herbert. But I think the fact that we haven't really seen Herbert active in the passing game is where I'm pretty comfortable with pivoting to McKissick in lineups, because I think McKissick, we've seen him get 12 plus points in a lot of games,
and also
he could outscore Herbert. If Herbert doesn't get a touchdown and say has like 18 carries for 85 yards, then I'd be like a lot happier having McKissick in that lineup, because his likelihood of getting over 8 points, I think, is probably high, especially in this matchup where they could be trailing from the Chiefs. Is the Chiefs coming out hot because they need that win because they haven't been playing well and get out to the early lead? That's the type of game flow that helps McKissick.
The guy I really want to talk about here next is Joe Mixon. You mentioned him, but at the end of the day, like, he's been a good running back, and when he's been healthy, like last week was kind of throw that away. Like, he was hurt, he was hobbled, they barely even used him, right? But, you know, prior to that, like, he was pretty much an absolute lock for 16 to 18 touches a game. He draws the Detroit Lions. The Lions defense is absolutely terrible. They're in the top three in terms of allowing running back points to opponents. It's just a super easy matchup, and you know, they have good wide receivers, but when Mixon's been healthy, they have been relying on the run. They've been running the ball a lot more. We went into the season thinking the Bengals were going to be this fast-paced, pass-friendly offense, and that hasn't been the case when Mixon has been healthy. They've really been feeding Mixon and trying to play that run game. Like, that has been their goal going into the season. Zach Taylor's like, you know, we're gonna be a running football team for some reason. Like, I don't say this is what it's supposed to be or what I agree with, but it's just the facts is they've been running at a much higher rate than we expected. And now with Mixon with healthy in a pretty plus matchup and an easy run defense, it makes me believe that, like, they're going to try to get Mixon the ball 20 times on the ground in this game, especially if they get themselves a lead, which shouldn't be that tough. I mean, the Lions have been playing a little tougher against some opponents, you know, with the Ravens and the Bengals as of recent, but at the same time, like, they're still not great. They've been losing a lot of players to injury. So, you know, Mixon 20 touches on the ground, a really soft defense, like, there's a lot that gets me there. And then the fact that he is just 6,400 this week, it's intriguing to go off of one of those first three guys we talked about to try to get Mixon in that lineup.
Yeah, I definitely think Mixon's going to be interesting, especially with the Hunt chalk, and we've seen Mixon injured already this season, and so can't beat the matchup. He seems to be the guy around the in the red zone that they turn to a lot, and we've seen what he can do in spike weeks. He might be a little more limited coming back from injury. Like, we saw him last week, he only had 10 carries, but the floor is there, and we know the matchup is probably the best that they could have. So if he's going to not be very played because he's in that weird zone of prices that there's just so many other options that people are going to turn to first, then I like Mixon. Do you like Jonathan Taylor for a couple hundred more after last week?
Yeah, I mean, like, he got most of that on one play. It was like a 74-yard reception touchdown. But, like, for some reason, they don't want to use him a lot. Like, maybe they're just the galaxy brain and everybody, and they're like, that's a 17-game season. We don't want to, like, roll him out there as a workhorse, and we want to just kind of rest him a bit. But, like, the game was on the line, and they're putting, like, Marlon Mack in there and giving him, like, legitimate touches. So, like, I have concern with the usage. And if he doesn't get one of those big spike plays or doesn't find the end zone, like, he's just not getting enough touches to where, like, I have a lot of confidence in him. He's one of those players to me that seems like a bit more of a GPP play just because we know he can absolutely pop. But, I mean, like, you know, looking at his, you know, last couple of games, it's like 15 carries, 16 carries, 10 carries, 15 carries. Like, that's good, but, like, that's not a workhorse. And then the receptions are a little concerning. Like, he's only had 8 receptions in the last 4 games, you know? Like, that's in the 2 receptions a game. Like, the floor is not there. Like, they're using Hines. They're using Marlon Mack. Like, they're all cutting into Jonathan Taylor's time. Like, I get that he is a I don't know if I'd call him a generational back, but he's a very elite back. But the usage is a concern, especially if this game turns into, like, an absolute just slaughter fest and they go up. Like, why are they – like, if they're already reluctant to give Taylor a large workload, if they're up by 3 scores or 2 scores, like, why are they – I just don't see a world where they keep feeding him the football.
Yeah, so you think he's basically game flow dependent at this
point? I think that, like, you're if you're going to play him, you're hoping for a really big play. That's yeah. Basically where I'm at, because it's – And he's more than capable. Like, he's a very yeah. talented back, and he could do it. But
it's a good matchup.
In those games where he didn't score a touchdown, you know, he scored 8 DK points and 6 DK points. You know, like, that is a bit of a concern for me. I mean, you know, he did have a 17-point week in week 1 without a touchdown with 17 carries and 6 targets. But, like, those 6 targets seem like a mirage at this point. I mean, those 6 receptions seem like a mirage at this point, because after those 6 receptions, he's gone 1 catch, 1 catch, 3 catch, 3 catch. So I don't know. I think the floor is a bit more scary than it seems. And I for a cash play, I'm just not there.
Yeah. Early in the week, I was thinking about it for cash, but all these other things have popped up, which I just feel more comfortable with and are cheaper.
Any other running backs you'd like to talk about for your pool before we shift to wide receiver, where it gets interesting?
Nope. I'm good.
Pool of 4 running backs.
Yeah, I'll do the obvious ones of Kareem, Henderson, Herbert, but then
who's the
I think
4th?
I'll go with. I think I'll go with DeAndre Swift, but I would mention that the one that I like to pay up most on would be Austin Eckler this week, 7,900. I think that price is probably going to scare a lot of people away, but. I mean, he just keeps doing it each week. He's got back-to-back week of 30 plus. Every game this season, Austin Eckler has scored more fantasy points on DK than the previous week. He had 33.9 last week. So if that continues,
the trend 35, continues.
Yeah.
All right. Wide receiver position. You know, I feel like there's no Henry on the slate. Don't have to talk about it. It's Devontae Adams, 9K. Are we squeezing him in?
Probably won't. I mean, 9K is still a lot, and he's coming off of a 40-point game where he was mega chalk. It's a decent matchup, and it's not like we're paying up at running back this week, so I could see it. But I think there's other spots that I'd rather pay up for this week. You know, Tyreek Hill kind of beat up. Mike Williams is the 3rd wide receiver on the list this week, which is kind of crazy. And so in that sense, like, Adams probably has the highest ceiling this week for a wide receiver compared to, or the, I should say the gap in his ceiling is, mm-hmm. is wider this week than normal weeks. But I don't think I'll end up playing him much. Like, maybe if I'm doing a game stack of some sort, because I think I'd play him in a lineup that I also have, say, like Mooney in, who's only 4,300. Mm-hmm. And so probably correlate the lineup, but not like as a one-off or in cash. I don't think I'll go there.
Cooper Kupp, another guy. I mean, he's been absolutely on fire. He's came back down to earth the last 2 weeks, but he's seen at least 10 targets in every single game this week. We've talked about Stafford already. Cooper Kupp, 7,900. You know, it's not the most he's been, but he was 7,800 last week. He's 7,800 this week. Thoughts on getting Cup in there?
Yeah, Cup, I think, has just been putting up stats pretty much every week that he goes out there, and he's Stafford's favorite target. He has at least 10 targets in every game this year, and it just seems like he has this massive floor, like at least 5 catches for 64 yards.
The thing is, he's just not going to kill you. He's just not going to kill you.
Yeah, it's hard for him to really fail, and when he does boom and hit the end zone, like it ends up hitting his ceiling pretty quickly. And for 7,900, I feel better about playing him than Mike Williams, I'd say, at least this week. And I think because of his price, 7,900, and it's a little expensive to play him and Stafford together this week. That's why I think they're one of my favorite stacks, and it's off of the Henderson chalk. So, I really like Cup in general. I'm not sure if I'll do it in cash. I think I might be, this might be where I'm saving the money more so, is at wide receiver. So I'm just less interested in paying up a wide receiver overall, but in tournaments, I really like the play.
And talking about guys with, say, floors, a bit of a surprise. If I were to tell you it's week 6 and Mike Williams is 8,100 and Keenan Allen is 64, I would have said you're absolutely fucking crazy. But it is the reality. But Mike Williams, he was limited today. Today's Friday. So, like, there's a chance he misses, and if he does miss for some reason, even if he doesn't, I think there is some interest at Keenan Allen at 6,400. There could be a lot of points scored in this game. We already said we like the Lamar side. Obviously, we expect some points from the Ravens. The Chargers have been absolutely rolling on offense. For 6,400, excuse me, for a guy that has had at least 8 targets in every single game, he only has 1 touchdown on the year. I mean, we know he's not been a deep ball, a lot of yards guy. But at the same time, like, could easily see 9-10 targets in this game. 6,400, I have interest, but then if Mike Williams out, I think he's practically a lock for that lineup. Thoughts on Keenan Allen?
Yeah, I definitely think if Keenan Allen is if Mike Williams doesn't play, then that really boosts Keenan Allen, and I'm going to have to sort of make a decision, even in cash, where that price tag on Keenan Allen, if he is the alpha on that offense, but that'll also make me want to play Eckler a lot more too. Yeah, Keenan Allen, like as himself, is a fine play. Like, he likely won't hurt you at that price, but we haven't really seen the ceiling games out of him this year. He's more so been a route runner in his career, and it's a volume type role that he has, and he's very good at it. A lot of defenders say that he has some of the best route running ability in the league. So I think from like a floor standpoint, like, he's pretty safe. His downside risk is low. And if Mike Williams is out, then all of a sudden, like, wouldn't it surprise me if he's getting 15 plus targets in this game? And the way the Ravens have been playing recently, this game could easily get out of hand.
I'll turn over to you now, Lou. There's a lot of wide receivers. I feel like we could talk about another dozen here and have some interest here. But wide receiver we haven't talked about, give me one or two that you're feeling really good at this point in time on Friday of getting in your lineup.
Yeah, so I really like the mid-range.
5K is 5 to 6K.
Yeah, so, you know, Keenan Allen 6,400 might be the highest I would go in cash this week, and it's not anything against like the other guys in that range. Like, CeeDee Lamb is seems to always be fine. Chase at 6,700, I don't think is bad, but for 1,400 less, you could play T. Higgins.
Yeah,
and he has the same matchup. He came back, and I still think that Higgins is above Boyd, at least from Burrow's pecking order. And so I think, why not just play Higgins for 1,400 less? Terry McLaurin 7,100 isn't a terrible play. Like, I think he's a pretty good play, especially if you already like Heinicke, he's a great way to pair that. But yeah, I like the 5K range, and the main guys I'm looking at are Brandon Cooks, Michael Pittman, and Higgins. Tony just got priced up so much. He got
and Sterling Shepard's back, man. And Sterling Shepard's back too, right. man.
And so that was really what put me over the edge and played Tony last week. Part of it was I couldn't find the 800 more to get to the like Waddle Chenault. We're both at 4,800.
It's a good thing. It was a good thing.
Well, I think I played
Chenault.
I played Waddle.
Either way.
I played one of the two anyway, but I was going to play both. And I couldn't get up enough to play
Thankfully.
Both. Thankfully. And then we had the injury news. So Waddle turned out to be a great looking play. But I think Tony this week, I mean, people talk about him throwing the punch, but I don't think much about that. I think of it as an opportunity thing, and it seemed like his opportunity, he took it last week, and he'll probably carved out a role for him in this offense. But I think with Sterling Shepard back specifically, Shepard had been like the guy for Daniel Jones. It seemed like he was sort of the fallback plan for him in a lot of games in the past. And so now with Shepard back, I think it's different than if, say, Galladay was back. Shepard and Tony kind of play similar roles in the offense. So would you play Shepard? Shepard's only 5K, and I've seen him popping in some like in the projections.
It's tough. I've thought about him. I think that he's going to be like in this pool of a larger pool of players that I'll consider, you know, but coming off a hamstring injury, it's just something. And there's something about me, regardless of what happens, that I just can't trust Daniel Jones. It's nothing to do with the concussion. I just don't think he's that
because you played him last week.
Yeah. I mean, before that I didn't either. It was a leap of faith, but, I'm not there. No, I mean, like Sterling Shepard is
the reason I ask. Is because I want to bring someone back in my Stafford stack. And I think I prefer Shepard. I don't really want to go to like Evan Ingram again. He doesn't seem like he has any ceiling.
No, there's no ceiling.
But I don't know. I guess I just wanted to see like if you had thoughts on Shepard, because I'm kind of playing around with lineups that have that, you know, Stafford Cup with
attacking that game.
With Shepard coming back. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think if you're looking for that game stack, that Sterling Shepard should be in play. I think I'd like him over Tony at this point. He was a preferred target the entire time until he went down with a hamstring injury. So 5K, I do like it. I think it's a good play. I'm not sure I'm going there just because there's other players in that range I like more. And I just wanted to add on a bit to your Brandon Cooks love here. I mean, he came out the gates hot, three straight games, just absolutely like freaking killing it. You know, had a bit of a down game against Buffalo, one of the best defenses in the NFL. Only had about 10 DK points, but the Bills have been absolutely on fire. And then, again, disappointment back-to-back weeks against New England. But if you watch the game, pay attention to the game, the Pats do what the Pats do, and they take a single player out of a game. And the Pats went into that game, and they're like, we're going to take Brandon Cooks out. Smart idea, because he's literally their only like good offensive player. So, like, he was the victim of Belichick being like, he's out of the game. But at the same time, like, I expect a huge week, a bounce-back week from Brandon Cooks. The Colts secondary has been awful all year. They're 30th DVOA, you know, making them the third worst defense in the NFL, 20th in yards allowed per pass. Like, Davis Mills, still not, like, bought into him, but, like, watching him last week, I'm like, he could be serviceable in some ways. Like, he played decent enough. Like, again, not even thinking about playing him, not interested at all. But before he played the Patriots, I thought Davis Mills was like, this guy's cooked. He has no shot ever being in the NFL. Like, this is it. Like, I can't believe they're playing him. And then he was kind of like, all right, maybe there's something to Davis Mills. So, you know, with a little more confidence in Davis Mills, a cake matchup, you know, I don't think the Colts defense can necessarily be like, we're just going to take Cooks out of this game. You know, I definitely like getting Cooks in there at 5,800 for a solid bounce back week. And, you know, for him to, you know, double his DK salary or even triple it, I think is something that I feel pretty safe about for my cash lineups.
Yeah, I think he's one of those guys that seems like he's just underpriced for being a number one on a team, and that's because he's just on a bad team. But, I mean, I've had this discussion with you for years where these are the types of guys I love to target in like long season long, because people kind of forget about them. They're like, oh, they're on a bad team, you know, whatever. But what does a bad team do?
Throw the ball.
They have to throw the ball a lot. And if you have an alpha, like Brandon Cooks has been an alpha on other teams. Like he had a year lot of after success year on the Rams and the Patriots, like big teams. And
the Saints, man, like things that he's been good.
He's everywhere. Not a bad player.
Yeah.
And so 5,800 for a guy who he's even putting up the stats too to back it up this season. So I really like Cooks this week, and probably going to play him in cash.
And then talk about mispriced number one wide receivers, man. Michael Pittman, 5,500. Give me some more details here.
Oh, man, I like him a lot. So I'm not sure if you play underdog at all, but I was smashing all Pittman overs. Yeah, it was like 4.5. I think it was 4. I think I got 4.5 receptions. It might have been 5.5, but I think it was 4.5, and it was like 53 yards. And I mean, he's just, it's been Michael Pittman's team. And the thing you brought up to me earlier in the week is like, oh, T.Y. Hilton's coming back this week. Like, what's that mean? I don't think it matters. I think if Pittman played Sunday, not in prime time, basically, I think he would have been priced higher. I think this is something that DraftKings does, is when they release the prices early and someone has a big game, it's kind of like an arbitrage opportunity in a sense, where he's just priced lower because he's priced off of the first 4 weeks and not the fifth week.
And all he did was score his first touchdown. That's, I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like it wasn't a 2021 season most yards. Like, it wasn't the most targets. It wasn't the most catches. He just finally scored a touchdown.
Yeah. And I think when you look at some of the big name players on the slate, like, I mean, I mentioned it before, Tyreek Hill and Mike Williams are two of the most expensive guys, and they're both potentially hurt. A lot of the running backs are hurt, and there's just not a lot of guys who you feel comfortable with who are priced higher, I guess, is how I would word it. Mm-hmm. But all these guys in the mid-range seem to have similar, at least, floors, and Michael Pittman, just, he's having a great season so far, in my opinion, and the last 4 weeks, he has at least 6 catches in each of those games. And we've seen, like you said, this is the first time he had a touchdown, but he had over 20 points without a touchdown a few weeks ago. So I really like Pittman. And I think this is one of those games that I'll have a lot of. And they're 2-1-4 teams, but I like attacking games like that, where there's teams that don't seem to be great on defense. And all of a sudden it's, you know, one of those, both teams score over 30 points in this game. And I think that, I'll probably target this game with guys like Pittman and Cooks in the same lineup and hope for one of those spike weeks.
Any, you know, not necessarily punt plays, but if we're going to scroll down this list and maybe find some cheaper wide receivers, you know, there's two guys that pop for me. I think one of them is a bit more obvious than the other. Tyreek Hill is looking like legitimately questionable for Sunday. I think a lot of people will be on Hardman. I'm team never Hardman. That's always kind of been where I'm at with things. But if Tyreek misses, I feel like there's going to be a lot of people going there to him. I mean, he saw 12 targets last week. Like, he saw his A dot drop substantially, but that's because he's getting more targets. But I mean, it was still 12 targets for 9 receptions and 76 yards. I mean, that's kind of like what Waddle did like not too long ago, and it's not necessarily inspiring. And then another person I think no one's really talking about is Amon-Ra St. Brown, 4,200. I think the big thing is he's seen 8 targets in back-to-back weeks. You know, seen 13 DK points, like not necessarily sexy, just kind of 2x in his salary. But what drives me to Amon-Ra St. Brown this week is he'd only been getting play time in 3 wide receiver sets. Like, he was not playing in 2 wide receiver sets up until last week. Quintez Cephas broke his collarbone. Quintez Cephas was playing in those 2 wide receiver sets, and Cephas is now on IR. So, you know, it leads me to believe that we're going to be seeing a lot more Antonio St. Brown. The snaps are going to go up. The route runs are going to go up. Like, possibility some of those targets go up. We know that Goff has been throwing a lot of, like, he's not great, but there's been a lot of throwing of the football because the Lions have no other choice in a lot of ways. So it's,
yeah,
just,
like the Texans. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just like, in the end of the day, it's like, you know, 8 targets seems pretty safe. I think there's a world where he finds 10 targets, like probably not for a ton of yards, like wouldn't guarantee a touchdown. But, you know, if you're looking for a cheaper wide receiver, I think a lot of people might be going Mecole Hardman's way. And I might lean Amon-Ra St. Brown over Mecole Hardman this week.
Yeah. I think that's going to be like a sharp move, because especially if Tyreek ends up not playing,
yep,
that people are going to talk up Hardman a lot, and it's going to be, oh, you could play Mahomes, Hardman, Kelsey stacks, and just easily bring it back with McLaurin, or you go double tight end or something like that. But I like the Amon-Ra St. Brown. He was pretty touted for waivers this week. So I don't know. He might get some ownership just because of that, where it's not as much of a surprise anymore because he's had a couple weeks in a row with it now. But I think when you look at these cheap guys, like there's not a ton of options that you can feel comfortable with. And St. Brown is the type of guy who seems to have a realistic floor at this point, and he's kind of carved out his own role in this offense. That back-to-back games with 8 targets is nothing to like shy away from for under 4,500. You know.
Yep.
And a lot of the guys in that range like aren't even playing. Like, you got who else? Nelson Aguilar, who just hasn't really done anything this year. Randall Collins.
Sammy Watkins is
Pascal.
Out.
Yeah. Mooney is the other guy in that range that I kind of like. But I think you could argue that St. Brown has a higher ceiling because of just the team he's on and how that game could easily come into become a garbage game real quick. So I like the call there. Before you brought him up, I wasn't really thinking about him much, but it's hard. Like in that 4K range, like everyone's hurt in the 4K range.
Yeah,
so
and it's either hurt or they just don't play football really.
Yeah, I mean, I'd rather play St. Brown than Khalif Raymond from that same team. Yeah, you know,
no, I'm absolutely with you, man. Any other wide receivers cheap or not that you'd like to talk about before we hit the wide receiver pool and move on to tight end?
The other cheap guy that I was kind of looking at was Rondale Moore. Kind of similar though, where
routes
he doesn't
up,
seem
man.
Like he has a huge
routes are up.
Upside.
So just real quick, but like last week was the first week where Rondale Moore had a higher route run percentage than Christian Kirk. First time.
Yeah. Yeah.
So like something to know, like things are trending. Max Williams is out. Like not say like he only had like an 11% target share, but like that could lead to more 4 wide receiver sets. So like things are like slowly trending up for Rondale, but yeah. I'll turn it over to you here.
Yeah, I think if you're playing plays in that game or trying to bring it back off of Kareem Hunt or you're playing a Kyler stack, then I do like Rondale Moore, especially since it seems like Hopkins is always hurt too. And like you said, it seems like Rondale might have taken a step ahead of Kirk recently. Yep. So
and he had 3 carries for 38 yards, man. He had 3 carries for 38 yards last week too. I mean,
yeah, which
something
adds to
note.
The floor. Yep. And he's under 5K. If he were to have a game this week that's like 6 for 80, you might not see him under 5K again. So it's more of like that opportunity. So in the 4Ks, I think right now St. Brown and Rondale are probably my favorite.
And the Browns are a good wide receiver matchup. I mean, they've been pretty stingy against running backs and tight ends, but they are a good wide receiver matchup. So I do like the Rondale call. I kind of overlooked him, but it's just the upside's there. We know he can absolutely break one loose because he is that good. Wide receiver pool of 5, Lou.
For 5, I'll go with Kupp, Cooks, Higgins, Pittman, and let's go with St. Brown.
Yes, Amon-Ra St. Brown, man. All right, tight end. You and I have, I believe you haven't, at least in your cash lineups. We have not played Travis Kelce yet this season. And we have 100% faded Kelce for cash lineups through 5 weeks. I believe week 6 is when that stops for me. 7K with a Tyreek injury. I mean, not to beat a dead horse. We've talked about like the Chiefs needing to win. The Chiefs always passing. The Chiefs passing in neutral game scripts. The Washington football team being terrible against the pass. And then there's Kelce sitting there at 7K with Tyreek Hill possibly missing this game. It's like, Jesus Christ. Like you're like with Kareem Hunt and Lamar Jackson, you're building your lineup around Kelce. That's at least how I feel. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I think the reason I'm not going to end up paying up for Devontae is if I pay up for Kelce. And there, like you said, there haven't been many weeks that I've felt the need to or really been able to with salary. But with salary this week, I think you can fit him. So my opinion, I'm either going to play Kelce or Ricky Seals-Jones. There's a $4,000 difference between the two. So if I were to go with Seals-Jones, that's when I would probably go up to a Kelce. But, because it would be like Higgins to Adams, basically. So that's sort of a TV too. That's interesting. It's like Higgins and Kelsey versus Seals, Jones and Adams. And I don't know, to me, the Kelsey side seems better. And especially if Hill's out, then I'm definitely doing it. But I like it. And it's the first time we've seen him at 7K this season. Seems like everyone's off the Chiefs so far this year, just because they haven't been performing as well. So I like Kelsey a lot.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you on that. It's Kelsey, like you said. It's to talk about his pricing and how crazy this is. Like, start off the season 8,300, 8,500, 8,200, 8,100. Last week jumped down to 73. Now he's at 7K, and one of the best matchups he's going to have all year. It's just, it seems like a pretty obvious move, and it's going to be tough to fade. And then if I'm not going that way, it's going to be RSJ. I'm 100% with you on that one. He is like the full time tight end. He's not. You know, there's so many tight ends between.
He's the Logan Thomas.
Yeah, there's so many tight ends between RSJ and Kelsey who are getting less snaps, who are splitting time, who are running less routes, who are honestly like getting less targets in another way. I mean, he had 9 targets last week. He comes in. He is the Logan Thomas. There's no Curtis Samuel. And basically gets 9 targets. Yeah, it was 5 catches, 41 yards. But, I mean, like, at the end of the day, that's almost tripling his – you're 3X-ing his price at 5 for 41. So, I'm like, in a game when they're going to have to throw against a very – like, I'm with you. Like, it to me, it's Kelsey or Ricky Seals-Jones, and I'm not even honestly considering any other tight ends at this point.
Yeah, at least not for cash, I think.
Yeah, for sure.
In tournaments, I do like to find the tight end that – to go with my quarterback a lot. So if I'm playing Stafford, that's when I would play Higbee. It seems like Schultz is the guy there now. Like, he's got weeks of it.
I'm off on Schultz, man. I'm absolutely off on Schultz.
In general, or just like
no, DK just this week. So
yeah,
the Pats have played pretty great pass defense through 4 weeks, but you know, again, Davis Mills thing was kind of an anomaly, let's say, so it's tough to gauge, but they've been a lot more susceptible to run. I really just think the Cowboys just pound Zeke and Pollard most of this game. Probably I'm definitely like tempering expectations for Cowboys pass catchers and Dak in this one, but they have been like one of the most stingy teams against the tight end this season. The Patriots have been, I mean, they've been absolutely crushing it. Like, taking a look at some of these stats here, I think they're top 3 in terms of limiting tight ends. I remember I saw this, so don't quote me on it, but I don't think they've allowed a tight end more than 2 catches.
Yeah, DraftKings has them as the best
defense
against tight end.
Yeah, so it's just like, you know, and like if they're playing good defense against the tight end and you have CeeDee Lamb and Amari Cooper and Zeke and Pollard, like, if like fine, take it's like, you know, it's like fine, take Schultz out of the game. Like, does it matter? No, you know what I'm saying? So I don't know. Like, I'm not saying Schultz is done. He's dust. Drop him from your fantasy team. It's just in DraftKings this week, or I'm just, it's not under any consideration whatsoever.
Yeah, I get that. And I think it's kind of tough with tight ends because they just like the variance is so high, but mm-hmm. I think someone that another guy benefits from primetime discount, I guess you'd call it, is Mark Andrews, 5,200.
Yeah, I mean, he's a good.
If that game was last Sunday, he'd be 6K. So he's a discount, and I mean,
is it him and Kelsey are both discounts? To be honest, like, they're both underpriced.
Yeah, so I mean, I could see myself going down to Andrews off of Kelsey,
especially with the Lamar Jackson, man.
Right, and we already like Lamar. We already like that game environment. It seems like Andrews has a decent floor this year. This was first week I'm get touchdowns.
Oh God. Can I tell you? No, man. I'm just like looking at some of these stats in terms of like, if you're looking at like
for Andrews.
Yeah. Not Andrews. If you're looking at the Ravens and like, you know, how many points they've scored, like from the tight end position, and you stack that up against the Chargers and how many points they're giving up from the tight end position. It is the best tight end matchup in the entire NFL is right now. The Ravens through 5 weeks, the Ravens playing the Chargers, the most juicy matchup for tight ends is going to be the Los Angeles Chargers. So shit, you might have just talked me into something. It was gonna be tough to get me off Kelsey, but whew.
Yeah, and it depends on what you're upgrading and the rest of your team, because I already talked to you about basically the team that I was looking at, and that difference in salary, $1,800, you know, are you, you're not really doing it to upgrade defense. So it would be to upgrade one of those wide receivers. And I think I'd do it if Mike Williams was out, and you I wanted to get Keenan, I could upgrade defense and upgrade Keenan. I think that's a decent play. But yeah, like you said, like if Mark Andrews has another game with like five catches, 80 yards, a touchdown or two, then he very quickly is going to be in that upper or mid 6K range. And we talked about it before, but I'm not going to touch Waller this week, especially in a game that we don't know what's going to happen after the Gruden issues.
Yeah, I mean, and it's just with these other players.
We're here trying to fade Raiders where we can, but that also makes it enticing. Like that car stack that I was talking about earlier, mm-hmm. like a car Waller is going to be so low owned this week compared to some other weeks because people aren't going to want to do it. And Kelsey's only 400 more. So I think Waller is like, that's the type of thing that I wouldn't be surprised if Waller was like in the Millie.
Yep.
Yeah.
A 2v2 for you, Kelsey Higgins or McLaurin Andrews?
Ooh.
That's a tough one. I just threw that in myself. Andrews, McLaurin, especially if you want to go to Heineke, and then Higgins or Kelsey. That's a tough one, man.
Yeah.
Something to think about.
I don't generally play two different cash teams, but what I'll do sometimes if I have something like that with a 2v2 is I'll throw the other one into a like one of the $12 single entries or something. Just for if that one ends up being the nuts and I missed out, then I get something back.
Yep. Makes sense. Defense. I feel like at this point, Lou, it's like we do this every week. It's like, should we even bother talking about defense? It's like literally like build your lineup and just see what defense fits. I feel like it's like it's not even worth having.
It doesn't look great this week, though, down low.
No, I mean, nothing really looks great because it's like I'm not paying up for a defense like that. That's just not something that ever's coming into my
purview. Yeah, like 4,700 for the Rams. Like who does that in any lineup? Like
you're just pissing away money. Crazy. You're just pissing away money.
I could see you going up to like the Colts. That's 3,500. I don't know if I'd go above that, but yeah, I think I do kind of like the mid range though this week more than low. The Cowboys are 3,200 against Mac Jones. They're on the road, but I think they're okay. The Vikings, I think, are in a decent matchup. The Panthers on the other side of that game could be all right. I don't know. Are you just going to go all the way down and take like the Lions?
Or, yeah, probably. Whatever.
I don't know if I would do the Chiefs. I think I'd rather do the Lions.
Yeah, probably. I mean, the Lions have like, if you look at the Lions' schedule like lately, I mean, their defense is bad, but for some reason, like they've been figuring things out like in a way where they're not like allowing teams. Like it's, I don't know if it's like
bend or break too.
Yeah, but it's like listen, they limited the Ravens to 19, the Bears to 24, the Vikings to 19. Like, yeah, sure. Like, yeah, Lions throw them in there. Like, I'm fine with it.
Or Cardinals. Cardinals are 2,700, oh, so they're pretty decent. And I mean, Chubb's out. Like. You know, that's one injury off the team.
And on the flip side of this, the Cardinals at 2,700. Sure. I don't know if you just saw this, but Cliff Kingsbury is COVID positive, like hoping he's okay. But they're without their head coach in the game. Like, you know, take that for what it is. Like, it's probably going to be a high-scoring game. It's probably foolish. But you never know. Anyways, done with the defenses. Final thoughts, week 6, Lou.
Yeah, I think this is more of a news week where people are going to be reactionary because we got news early. And that's going to be good for GPP players who they know people are going to want to play Kareem Hunt. They're going to want to play Herbert. And so that's going to really open the door for a lot of fun GPP lineups where you don't play those guys. But also pay attention if there's going to be more injuries. And it seems like we're seeing more COVID positives recently. So like you said, with like Cliff Kingsbury or the Damian news today. So we're getting to that point in the year where news matters and news happens more often. So definitely pay attention to that. But I'm excited for this week after talking through it with you here with there's a lot of different options that we can go.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, this is, I mean, you and I were doing this before we had even like any audience or a podcast whatsoever. We would literally just sit here and talk about our DFS lineups. Mm-hmm. It's probably the best way to kind of sift through your thoughts and figure out what is best. But that's all we have for today. For Lou, make sure you follow Lou at Lou Dog Sports and myself, Tyler, at FF Tyler O. That's all we have today, folks. Don't forget, tell somebody you love them. Later.
When we add up all those inches, that's gonna make the fucking difference between winning and losing.
We won a game yesterday. And if we win one today, that's two in a row. We win one tomorrow, that's called a winning streak.